Much. I'd like you to take the Word of God with me, please, and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103 this morning. Psalm 103. This is Gift Sunday at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I think we got this idea from Noah when he came over on the ark, as I think is how long we've been using this. And it's a great day. It's a great Sunday. We appreciate those who come. Thank you for being here. And I've been praying this week about what the Lord would have me to share in this special day that we call Gift Sunday. I've been meditating a little bit this week on the different things that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is the greatest gift of all. There's no doubt about that. We understand that when the Lord came down to earth from heaven, that He is the gift of everlasting life. We understand that when we get Jesus, we get a whole lot of other things. And today I want to focus our attention on this Gift Sunday just on one aspect of all we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we preach on this subject this morning, this is just one of the many things that we have in the greatest gift of all. And the greatest gift of all is not something. As I said, it's someone. His name is Jesus. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of our visiting special speakers, he put a box upon the platform, and it had the name Jesus on it. And he opened the top of the box, and he just began to pull out stuff like grace, love, hope, all these different kind of things. And he's like this: do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want peace? Do you want joy? Do you want contentment? Do you want these things? And I mean, who in the right mind say no to that? Say, yes, we want peace. We want this. We want that. And he said, well, when you get Jesus, you get all of that. And today I want to pull one of those things out of the box. Just one. Just one. But I'll be honest with you, many times we who have been saved have lost sight of this. And those who never have been saved, no question, are blinded to this. And today we turn our attention to this great topic on this Gift Sunday. That's just one aspect of the greatest gift of all, whose name is Jesus. Psalm 103, verse 17. The Bible says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Notice the opening phrase, the mercy of the Lord. Look here, please. Thank God for God's mercy today. And today I want to preach to you on the mercy of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless, help us as we come to this time to understand what you're saying. And Lord, it's my goal today that you receive the glory and honor, that we praise you for your wonderful mercy in our lives. And also, Lord, if there's somebody here that's never experienced your mercy, the mercy of forgiveness of sin, may today be that glorious day. With our children, our teenagers, our adults, may somebody on these grounds today experience the mercy of the Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we turn our attention to just one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given. We understand that this is part of the greatest gift that's ever been given. His name is Jesus Christ. It's the gift that's offered to all of mankind. It's the gift of God's mercy. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 says, and the Lord passed by before him, talking about when he passed by Moses and covered him with his hand. Remember? The Bible says, and the Lord passed by him and proclaimed. Here's what God said about himself. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. 1 Chronicles 16:34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 119:64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Psalm 136, 1 through 26. I mean, all the way through that. Basically, every verse you'll find, praise Him for His mercy endureth forever. Do this for His mercy endureth forever. Do this for His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 116, 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Psalm 119, 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You know, these are only just a few of the many verses that mention in the Word of God that God is a God of mercy. In order to help with our understanding this morning, I want us to consider just some important questions. There's three of them, if my memory serves me correct here, that I want to ask about mercy to help us understand God's mercy a little bit better. And may I say this to you, He has shown to us here, right here, in the Word of God, what His mercy is. And if you've never accepted His mercy, it's not too late to do so. But there will come a day when it will be too late. Now, I want to talk to you about the mercy of God. This is a great gift that's wrapped up in the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all today, first question, what is it? What is God's mercy? You know, it's only logical that this would be the first question to answer in this message. We're talking about the mercy of the Lord. Then obviously, number one, we need to know what it is. You know, it's important that we accurately define what mercy is. Now listen to this closely. Mercy can be expressed as being kind or showing pity. Along with this, mercy is withholding. In other words, holding back what somebody rightfully and justly deserves. It's also been identified as, and I quote, a refraining from harming offenders, enemies, etc. Still quoting, a disposition to forgive or to be kind. Here's what mercy is. Mercy is like a judge finding you guilty and withholding the punishment. That's what mercy is. You're guilty, but I'm not going to punish you. Now, folks, look here, please. If you're saved, that ought to do something inside your heart. Now, the reason, I'm getting ahead of myself, the reason that He does not punish us who are saved is because He's already punished Himself on the cross of Calvary. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me give you some examples of this. This is not a deep message. In other words, all I'm trying to do is shine the light on it and just say, if you have Jesus, you have the greatest gift in all the world, in all the universe. And I'm just showing you one aspect of Him. That's it. This is only one of the many things. When you got Jesus, when you asked Jesus into your heart, He come to live inside of you, you receive the mercy of God. What's that mean? Let me give you an illustration of it. What about Joseph? And I'm not going to turn to all these passages because there's so many of them, because this one is Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50. Would you like me to read all that to you this morning? Probably not, right? But if you read Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50, in these chapters, I'm going to paraphrase this, we see a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph is favored by his father above his brothers. He also has a dream living in his heart that the Lord put in his heart. But his brothers couldn't stand him. They hated him. They hated him and ended up selling him to Midianite merchant men. You can find this all in Genesis 37 to 50. He ends up in Egypt where he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and ends up in prison. While he was in prison, the butler and the baker have a dream. And he interprets both of their dreams correctly, and he tells the butler to remember him when he was restored to his job, but the butler forgot him for 2 full years. Joseph's life, for all practical purposes, has been ruined. However, after 2 years, Pharaoh exalts him to the second in command in the land of Egypt. And it's interesting that a famine hits the land, and his own brothers, who years prior are the ones that sold him into slavery unjustly, come to buy food from him, not knowing that that's their brother Joseph. They had no idea that that's Joseph. And he is the one that they're standing before. And they ask him for his provision. Now get this. Joseph at this time in his life has it in his power and in his authority to have his brothers killed, to have them sold just like they sold him, whatever he wants to do. After all, look here, they deserved it. Wouldn't you agree? Sure, humanly speaking. But instead of giving them what they deserved, Joseph kisses them and takes care of them and takes care of their families. Here's what he said. Don't turn to it. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 and following, here's what he said. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto the evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And then he goes, and Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Verse 21, listen to this. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know what that's a picture of? That's mercy. They deserved, humanly speaking, they deserved anything that Joseph would do to pay them back. And he had in his power to do it. But he chose, even though they were guilty, he chose not to punish them. What about David? What about David when he's running for his life because the king at that time, King Saul, was just jealous of him? I've been reading in this in my devotional reading. And Saul was a maniac. Let's just be honest. He was a maniac. He got jealous of David, and he started chasing him, trying to kill him. And in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and chapter 26, you can find what I'm paraphrasing here. In these two chapters, we see David and Saul is on display. David has had the hand of the Lord upon his life, and Saul is extremely jealous of him. As a matter of fact, Saul is so jealous that he's trying to kill David. David's running for his life over a man's jealousy of him. And once in each one of those chapters, chapter 24 and chapter 26 of 1 Samuel, once in each one of those chapters, David was given the opportunity to kill him. When he's in the same cave with him in one chapter, in the other chapter, he's able to march in among him because a deep sleep had fallen among them. And both times, there's Saul right in front of him. Saul does not even know he's there. And other people are saying, kill him, kill him, kill him. After all, look what he's done to you. And humanly speaking, David could have done that. And in our eyes, in human beings' eyes, it would have been, well, he just got what was coming to him. But David refused to do that. David instead showed mercy and refused to punish him for something that he really was guilty of. You know, when you think about Joseph and David, in both of these cases, we see two separate men who had it in their power to take revenge and to bring about what the world would think is justice. That's just justice. But in both cases, they chose to extend mercy to their offenders. I'm still getting ahead of myself here a little bit. But you know, in the same way, all of humanity has offended the all-holy, all-just, almighty God with our sin. But yet he desires, instead of punishing us justly and sending us to hell, ultimately the lake of fire for all eternity, and he would be just because we are guilty, that's what we deserve, God wants to show us mercy. Now, folks, that's a good place to say amen. He wants to show us mercy. We who have offended Him do not have to be punished. Number one, what is it? It's God withholding what we deserve. That's what it is. Number two, I've already said this, but I'm going to prove it a little bit more. Why do we need it? What is it? Number two, why do we need it? Let me remind you here that mercy is withholding what one deserves. Therefore, let me say loud and clear that we need mercy because we are sinners who deserve to spend eternity in the lake of fire away from a loving, holy God. That's what we deserve. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve. Let me explain. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 and 19 and 20, here's what it says. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. James 2 verse 10 puts it this way, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Somebody says this, I'm going to heaven because I'm doing the best I can. Hogwash, ridiculous, crazy. Because the Bible says, in order for you to go to heaven, you don't have to keep most of the law. You've got to keep the whole law. And the Bible says, if you keep the whole law and just break in one point, just one point of it, you're guilty of the entire law of God. You know what that tells me? That tells me we do not deserve everlasting life. We don't deserve heaven and peace and joy and satisfaction. We don't deserve any of that. What we deserve is the opposite. We deserve death and hell, separation from God in the lake of fire. Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Did you hear that? The Bible says that we are cursed if we do not continue in all the things written in the law of God. In all of the things. Not some, not most, not a majority, but all of it. Who among us has kept the entire law of God? Don't raise your hand because you've just lied if you raise your hand. Nobody has kept the entire law of God. The Bible teaches in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All I'm trying to tell you is this. The bottom line is that we all have sinned by breaking the law of God. And even if it's one sin, just one, it's enough to be righteously judged by God and condemned to the lake of fire forever. Just one sin's enough to do that. This is the reason that we need the mercy of God. We have sinned and cannot earn God's favor ourselves. It can't happen if He does not extend mercy. If mercy's not available, it's over with. It's done. It's finished. Because there's not one here guiltless. Not one. Number one, what is it? It's God withholding the punishment that one deserves. That's mercy. We deserve it, but He wants to withhold it. Why do we need it? Because we're guilty. We have sinned. We've broken His law, even if it's just one time. And I dare say, probably everybody in this crowd has broken more than one law. I mean, come on, friends. Now, I'm probably the closest. Now, I'm just kidding with you there, okay? I just lied to you, so I just added to mine there. You see what I'm saying? Number one, what is it? It's God withholding what we deserve. Number two, why do we need it? Because we deserve it. That's why. Number three, how do you get it? This is deep. This is a deep message today, isn't it? How do you get it? How do you get it? In this message, it's a real joy to see how the Lord is a merciful God. Is that not a blessing? To think that God is a God of mercy. He wants to give mercy to sinners who are guilty. That's a blessing. He wants to withhold what we rightfully deserve. He wants to withhold it. But it's necessary for us to see, how do we get it? You know, it's one thing to know something's available, but it's another thing to understand how to go get it. Amen or not? Sure. Understand this point. We're going to discuss how we as sinners who have broken God's law, even if it's one time, that's it, we're still guilty and we still deserve hell and ultimately cast into the lake of fire for eternity. How can somebody like that receive the mercy of God and God say, he's guilty, but I'm not going to punish him? By the way, every human being that's ever been born and ever will be born and still alive today, they are in one of those two positions. Either God saying they are guilty and they're going to hell, or they are guilty and I have pardoned them. I will not punish them. Which one are you? How do you get it? Let me say loud and clear, and I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. A lot of scripture. Let me say loud and clear here that one receives the mercy of God. Look here, please. Every eyeball, look right here for just a moment. This is so vitally important. Everyone receives the mercy of God when they simply ask God for it. When you ask God for his mercy by faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary, he will give you mercy. You're still guilty, but he will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will wash you in his blood, and he will not punish you because he punished Jesus on the cross. Look here, please. When Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, he was God. The Bible teaches in the book of John that was God manifest in the flesh. That means God was walking in a human body on earth. That's God. That's Jesus. And when that's why he said, nobody takes my life from me, but I willingly lay my life down. He even said, to this end was I born. This is why I came. And the Bible teaches, get this, whenever he stretched out his arms and they put spikes through his hands and a spike through his feet, and all of this was taking place, and they beat his face to a bloody pulp, and they pulled his beard out of his face, and they spit upon him, and they ran a spear in his side, and all of his bones were out of joint. What was that hanging on the cross? You know what? Listen to me. You know what it was? It was the mercy of God. It was God punishing our sin on himself, in himself. God died for man. He was buried and rose again, and now he can offer his mercy to you. Because get this, he's a God of justice. Sin must be punished. That's what the Word of God teaches. For the wages of sin is death. That means every sin must be punished by death, separation from God. So when you trust Christ as your Savior, when Christ died on the cross, the wrath of the Heavenly Father was falling out on him. And I'm talking about our sin judgment was being laid upon Jesus Christ. He was suffering our payment. He was suffering our hell. He was suffering our punishment. And he died, was buried, and rose again. But when you come to him by faith and you simply ask him for his mercy and ask him to come into your heart and forgive you, he was punished for our sin once and once only. And we who have been saved, the Bible teaches he puts us in Christ. And we who are in Christ will never suffer the punishment of God because he's already been punished for our sin. Don't you see it? Now, folks, this is enough. And I'm going to show you some verses here that all it takes is not you getting baptized, not you turning over a new leaf, not you doing the best you can, not you coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. All those things are good and proper when they're in the right place. But none of that stuff will extend the mercy of God to you. The only thing that extends God's mercy is when you realize you are guilty. You're on your way to hell, even if it's one sin, but you believe that Jesus, God, came to earth and died for you, was buried and rose again, and when you by faith accept Him into your heart, He forgives you, He wipes you clean, He gives you a robe of righteousness, and since He punished Jesus, He'll never punish you. He's going to show you mercy. Now, folks, that's enough right there inside. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm not trying to push that. But inside, there ought to be something going inside of you if you're saved and say, glory to God, that sounds pretty good right there. That sounds pretty good right there. How do you get it? Ask Him for it. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just showing you what He did. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ hath also suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. 1 John 4:9 and 10, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Bible plainly teaches that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Plainly teaches He was buried and rose again as our substitute for our sin. He died for us. And this being the case, His mercy is available to you only through Him. He's the one that bought it. He's the one that purchased it. And He's the only place you can find it. The way you receive it is you simply ask Him for it. Question, for I give you several verses here. Who in their right mind would say no to God? Look here, please. There are people, multitudes of people around the world, multitudes of people in the Tri-Cities that do not believe what I just told you. And somehow they think their belief and all roads lead to the same place. I'll say this. All roads but one do lead to the same place. But that place is not heaven. That place is hell. Because there's only one road that leads to heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. And if you want Him, you can have Him. All He's asking for is that you ask for Him. That's it. The Bible teaches in Romans 10:13. Here we go. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look here, please. You don't have to add anything to that. Psalm 86:5. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. He's plenteous in mercy just for those who just call upon Him. Proverbs 28:13, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Mark 10:46 through 52, listen to this. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know how blind Bartimaeus got mercy? He asked Jesus for it. That's it. That's it. Luke 17:13-14, they lifted up their voices and Jesus and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Luke 18:11-14, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. In other words, here's a sinner standing there. Here's this Pharisee saying, God, I thank You that I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like these extortioners. I'm not like these unjust people. I'm not like these adulterers or even this publican. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, remember him standing there as the Pharisee, said, I'm glad I'm not like him, God. It says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's what Jesus said. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. The publican who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Matthew 18, 23 to 27 says it this way. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. If you'll notice in every one of these situations, mercy was extended to the one who needed it because they simply asked for it from a believing, sincere heart. You know, this is the only thing standing between somebody's soul and heaven. This is the only thing standing between somebody's soul and mercy from God. Is God above is simply wanting you to ask for it. You must understand you've sinned. You've got to understand you deserve everlasting punishment. But if you'll admit that you're a sinner, believe the gospel, receive Jesus into your heart by asking him for forgiveness and mercy, I promise you, God will give you mercy. Somebody said, saved by grace, I live to tell what the love of Christ hath done. He redeemed my soul from hell, of a rebel made a son. Oh, I tremble still to think how secure I lived in sin, sporting on destruction's brink, yet was saved from falling in. I like that. Numbers 14, 18, the Bible says the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Proverbs 16, 6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged. Micah 7, 18, who's a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. What about Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, let me paraphrase. You were lost, without God, without hope, on your way to hell, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Daniel 9:9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Matthew 9:13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Sinner, that's all of us. Have you called out for his mercy? Have you asked him for his mercy? If you have, thank God, he's a God of his word and he extended it to you. If you haven't, you can today. 1 Peter 4:17 and 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What about Luke chapter 16, verses 22 to 25? Listen to this. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, remember what he cried for? Have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus evil. But now he is comforted. Thou art tormented. Look here, please. I'm just about done. The rich man in hell begged for mercy. But he waited too late. Look here. If you call out for God's mercy on earth, you go to heaven for all eternity. But if you think you don't need it, you will call out for it for all eternity. But you will never get it. There's a song. She's with the Lord now. But I heard her sing it. Vestal Goodman. She sung one of the most powerful songs I've ever heard in my life on mercy. It goes like this. I don't remember how it goes. I'm just reading the words. Adam walked with God and knew the greatest joy of all. But when he sinned, he broke God's heart and he knew that he would fall. For God had warned him long ago, so clear the word had been. His judgment now was sure to come. With death, he would pay for sin. But God in love sent down his Son to die upon the cross. Jesus walked up Calvary's hill and rescued us from loss. It was not something we deserved, no way that we could buy. The forgiveness of a holy God, but the Father heard our cry and gave us mercy. God gave us mercy. When just in time he sent his Son to suffer and to die, mercy, his precious mercy. Now the chains of sin and death are broken by mercy, God's sweet mercy. Just like someone who kneels before a king upon his throne, so I knelt before the Lord confessing all my wrong. I knew my sin condemned my soul and no works could justify, so it's not for justice that I pray, but for mercy there I cried. And he gave me mercy and set my poor soul free. Folks, we have offended a holy God. We are sinners. And if you think you're going to go to heaven and God's going to say, well, you did a little bit better on the good side than you did the bad side, welcome into my home, you have a nightmare ahead of you. God will not take your good works and bad works and see which one outweighs the other. God is going to see what you did with Jesus Christ. And if you accepted him, you get mercy. Amen. But if you reject him, the fact still remains, you're a guilty sinner. And if you do not allow him to take your place, which he did, but you never accept it, you never accept him, then you will have to pay for your own sin. And that's one reason hell is forever. Because we can never pay completely for our sin. So how do you give an invitation? Here's how we give an invitation. As we begin this invitation, if you don't mind. Number one, look here, please. I'm going to ask for very little movement. There are two types of people in this auditorium, just like there are two types of people on planet Earth. Those that God says guilty but forgiven. And those that say guilty and refuse to accept my gift. That's it. There are no other groups of people. Those who have said yes to Jesus and those who have said no. You may be saying, wait a minute, I've not said no, I just haven't said yes yet. Well, that's no. Let's quit sugarcoating things, okay? It's either yes or it's no. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, I'm gonna talk to you in just a moment. But there's no question in my mind in a crowd this size, somebody somewhere in this auditorium right now, if you drop dead, or if Jesus came back to earth, right, and he could come right now. There are no warning signs for that, nothing. He is due back at any twinkling of the eye. He can come back at any moment. If he came back right now, or if you died right now, if God knows that when you get in your vehicle, you're not going to make it home. By the way, he does know that. And I hope that's not true of anybody here, but is it possible that I won't make it home? Yes. Now, I'm hoping to. I'm not making any plans. But nobody knows. I'm asking you a question that's really the most important question anybody's ever asked you in your life and ever will ask you. Do you know if this is your last moments on earth, do you know that you know that you know that God has given you mercy? If you haven't, look here please, all God wants you to do is agree with him. I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. You're buried and rose again. And I'm not coming to you with my goodness, I am not good. I want to ask you for mercy. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Change me. If you make that decision, that's not works, that's faith. He did all the work. You're just taking the gift. And you can do that today. Isn't that good stuff, friends? You can do that today. And no doubt, in a crowd this size, a majority have made that decision. What's the message for us? God help us for not living a life that says thank you to him. God help us to live all of our days until we see him saying, thank you, God, for your mercy. So we ought to praise him, live for him. And those who've never asked him, you can today. Look here, please. That's some pretty good stuff. May the Lord help you see it. Let's bow for a word, just for a word of prayer. They began to play through softly. I ask you today, and I ask, unless you're absolutely in an emergency situation, try not to leave. I sense the Lord moving today. Maybe today say, Jody, I'm glad there's been a time in my life. I know there's been a time in my life when I've asked Jesus into my heart and I've experienced the mercy of God. He has forgiven me, changed me, saved me. I know that. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Isn't it great to be able to raise your hand to that question? Amen. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Is there somebody here today, say, Jody, I cannot raise my hand to that. I cannot do it. But I sure do want to. Now, we're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I give you my word. But I would like to pray for you. By the way, if this truth grips you, you're not going to worry about what somebody else may think. All you know is that you're guilty and that you need to be forgiven. And you want God's mercy. You don't want God's justice. Is there somebody in this auditorium? You say, pray for me, Jody. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. But you say, pray for me. I'm just concerned that I've never asked for God's mercy for my sin. Ask him to forgive me and change me and save me. As far as I know, that's never happened in my life. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? Thank you. Somebody else? You say, pray for me. I'm concerned that I've never made that decision. And I'd like to do this. I know God's in it. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Anybody else up in the balcony down below, you say, pray for me. I'm just not sure, or I don't think I've ever made this decision. And I realize, I see your hand. God bless you. Thank you. You can put it down. The Lord is working. He's moving. If you raise your hand to that question, I want you to do me a favor. Would you do this? I want to make this a very personal thing, make you very comfortable. I'd like to ask you to lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? If you raised your hand to that question, I'd like you to look right here at me, okay? It's because I want you to recognize that I see you. I see you. And I'm telling you, I'm going to keep my word. I'm not going to come to your seat. I wouldn't do that for anything on planet. I would not embarrass you for anything in the world. But by you looking to me tells me that God spoke to you today. Would that be a true statement? Yes? Would that be a true statement? Yes? Good. Would that be a true statement? Absolutely. I want you to know something. You're among friends. This may sound weird to you because we don't know each other that much, but we love you. See, there was a day when I was the one that had to look. Even though it didn't necessarily happen like this, I would have had to look. Because I had to make this decision. I'm telling you, he's changed my life. When I put my head on my pillow at night, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I know I am. Wouldn't that be great to do that tonight? Absolutely. We love you. We care for you. Now, let me explain what's going to happen. Just a moment. I'm going to come down here. This dear man, Brother Gary, is going to begin to sing, and we're going to stand. We cannot force you to do this. God's not going to force you to do it. He's not going to drag you and say, ask, ask. He doesn't do that. He just simply says, you're guilty. You need it. Ask me. I'll give it to you. And whenever we begin to sing, I'm going to be standing right here, and I'd like to ask you to come. Now, you say, that is scaring me to death. Listen, the devil will fight against this. The Lord will never tell you don't do it, but the devil will. And the reason I'm coming down is because I'm going to meet you. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we're going to share with you how you can ask Jesus into your heart. We're going to show it to you. Be a great day. Be the greatest day in your life. I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you to do this. You'll be glad you did. You'll probably be miserable if you don't. So I hope you understand what we're doing. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, please. We're just trying to get you to Jesus. That's it. That's it. No doubt about it. Matter of fact, let me help you with this. If you're saved today and you'd be glad to see them respond like this, would you say amen? Would you do it? Do it now. You're among friends. They want you to do this. You'll be so glad you did. I hope you'll do it. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If you need to come, if you want to come and just say thank you, God, for showing me mercy, you come. If you need to come because you're not sure of salvation or you know you need to be saved, you come. As he sings right now, would you leave your place?
Just
and would you come?
Come
now.
Come
right now. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'll meet you right here. I'll meet you right here. I'll meet you right here.
Amen. Thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, lends relief, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come.
You happy for folks coming for salvation? Would you say amen? It's a great thing, isn't it? We're dealing with some folks, and in just a moment we're going to dismiss. As we're dealing with folks, I want to give you some names here. This is Kimora and Jeremiah. Which one's Jeremiah? Jeremiah and Gavin. Very good. Sean and Haley. These are all children who were dealt with in children's church. And they were told over there about the greatest gift that's ever been given. And they were dealt with thoroughly. And all of these children today are coming to let us know in this big auditorium. This can be scary for kids, you know. But they're coming all the way over here to tell us that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And listen, kids, I want you to hear this. If you're happy about this, would you say amen? That means they're happy about it. And we're thrilled about this. And we're excited about you getting your gift here in just a little bit, too. So thrilled for you being here. I'm going to let you all go ahead and take them out. That'll be good. Okay? Isn't that precious? Hey, that's enough to shout about right there, friends. That's five precious young ones going right there. Came to church today on their way to a devil's hell, leaving on their way to God's beautiful heaven. Isn't that great? Now, we're dealing with some adults up here. So let me go ahead and dismiss all department teachers, superintendents and teachers, to go back to your department. Obviously, if you have preschool children, nursery age, they are still in the same location. The four-year-olds combined with the three-year-olds, so just the room right beside of it. And then all children, first through sixth grade, and I know a majority of them are in children's church, are going to go to their classes, and then you can take them home with you, okay? That'll be very good. If you need help because maybe you're visiting, you're not sure where your child's Sunday school class is, if you'll just let us know out in the lobby, we'll be happy to help you with that, okay? That'll be very, very good, all right? All children, if there's any children in here, first through sixth grade, let me go ahead and dismiss you to go back to your class to get your gift, just in case. I realize the majority of them are probably in children's church, but some of them may be here. Let me say this, if you're visiting with us, and you say, I didn't know about this morning. If you'd like your child to receive a gift, if you'll let us know, we'll take him and get him one, okay? That'd be a good thing. No doubt about it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask as we leave if we'll be very respectful, very quiet, as we deal with some folks here about their salvation. It's a precious time, okay? I'm going to ask our preacher, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to dismiss us, please.